Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan.
And you are listening to Positive Perspective. Tonight, I'd like to recap a little bit on last week's show. And I would like to clarify a few things. Last week's show was not an attack on the homosexual community, but in defense of Christian churches and establishments when homosexual people try to sue them for not recognizing their lifestyle. We are all sinners. If you look at Martin Luther King Jr. and the scandal that he was in with sex recordings, and also John and Robert Kennedy and their affairs with Marilyn Monroe, these were very great men, very great people. But the bottom line is that we're all human beings, and we all have a choice. And I should not condemn anyone or treat them badly because my faith, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, tells me or teaches me that God will judge. But I would like Shantae to read a scripture for you.
It's from Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 to 23, or 25, excuse me. Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I'm going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled, so I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants.
Okay, as Christians, we don't really have a choice in this matter. The Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality is a sin and it is wrong, okay? Even our president, Barack Obama, openly embraces the gay and lesbian lifestyle. God says it's a sin, and unless we repent, that means turn away from it. However, we, and through the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, unless we repent, we will pay the price. That scripture in Leviticus 18 says that the land will vomit out its inhabitants. And I know here in America, we think that could never happen to us, that we are too powerful and too great to lose what we have. In the UK, a first world power, they support same-sex marriage and the gay and lesbian lifestyle. Question: what is the most popular name for newborns in the UK today? It is Mohammed. If you do your research, find out why Mohammed is the most popular name in the United Kingdom. There's something rotten happening in Denmark. God bless you. Okay, we're going to start our show tonight, and it's about the controversy with police brutality, the assassination of two police in New York. Was that today or yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Okay. A lot of things happening and just a powder keg. You know, it's everything's getting ready to blow up. I'd like to, and I don't know, I'm kind of weird about these things. And I know the police, they want to kill. And I believe that. I know there's a lot of good cops. I know there's a lot of bad cops. And there is a lot of bad cops. There's a lot of bad people. And there's a lot of good people. But I believe in my heart that a lot of those cops really do want to kill. And I'm not trying to justify, you know, that in my opinion. But at the same time, what is right and what is justified? Where is the balance as we as a people? I believe in a lot of cases, or a lot of cases that I'm doing research on, is that we're putting ourselves, or we're making ourselves vulnerable to these attacks. We already know they want to kill. And also, did you guys get the numbers? Anybody get the numbers on overall killings or cop killings?
No.
Oh, we did not get that, huh? So here, see if you can get that. And that was a question Denise had asked. Are the cops targeting black people? Which I believe that they are, and they have been for quite some time in the past. But what are the numbers today? Are they?
Is there no morality left in this world?
I think the studio is being haunted tonight. So, or North Korea, but I don't think it's North Korea. I think it might be Palm Springs.
No, I just hit a wrong button actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, just cancel out those last assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, what was that? It was accurate.
Yeah. It was relevant. Just happened like that.
Okay. Denise had asked a question: are the police just trained now to shoot first, ask questions later? It doesn't make any difference what color you are, or what the situation is. They're just so petrified now because of all the guns in the streets and all the craziness that's going on these days with the gangs and just crazy people with weapons, that they just are jumping at the opportunity. Or now I won't even say it like that. I'll say that they're so scared of being killed in the line of duty that they're just trying to squeeze those bullets off first. So that if you lean a little bit to break wind, you're a goner, basically. So we want to see what the numbers are, if Shante can find out that information. Denise, you were doing some little research, or you had something about the guy in New York. What was his name?
Eric Garner.
Eric Garner. And you were saying that you were reading what the coroner said.
What the coroner report had said was that not only was there damage to the windpipe, but there was, because of his weight and his medical history and stuff, that contributed also to what was going on. There was also another interesting article that was done by the New York Post that, let me see if I can find exactly how they worded it. It says, if a obese person with a coexisting medical problem.
Now, did you say obese or a beast?
Obese.
Okay.
Coexisting medical problem, can't get oxygenation to begin with, then that chokehold would just put him over the edge. It was like the, you know, like kind of like the icing on the cake. And the man was a very large man. It also said that they were investigating to see, because he had a pre-existing condition of obesity, asthma, and possible heart disease, that it said that he died of cardiac arrest in the ambulance. You know, all of this, of course, started back from when the cop jumped on his back and put him down the ground.
Okay, now, there was damage to his windpipe, though.
Well, exactly, but with his arm wrapped around him, and the man, when he's 350, 400 pounds, is laying on the ground with the guy on his back, and the guy, they said, was like 5'10", and this guy was well over 6 foot. So he, obviously, you could see even on the videos that he was, you know, the cop was a lot smaller than what Eric Garner was. But I also heard on both on the television news and on the radio news that they were talking about when a person is that large, they do not get good oxygen. If you have them laying on their stomach with their hands back behind them, it cuts off the oxygen, whether or not your arm is around their neck or not around the neck. And that's basically what it was, an ER doctor that's a cardiologist said it's poor training on the police departments for anybody of that size, whether they would have put a chokehold on or not. To put him in that position, you're probably going to suffocate the guy just because he is so large. Or if it was a woman, so large, when you have them on their stomach with their arms back behind their back. They need to be trained that they have to be rolled onto the side so that they can breathe, because they're not going to be able to breathe. You know, again, this came from an ER doctor that's a cardiologist.
Okay, now, Shante, you watched the video, and I was watching it with you, but... not as closely as you were. Now, what did you get? I mean, Denise was telling me earlier that if you watch the video, that the police officer was not, or you even said he was 8 seconds, right?
I don't know the exact amount of seconds, because they had said, but it was something like 8 to 10 seconds that the chokehold was there.
Now, you can crush somebody's windpipe in 1 second.
Well, exactly. But the guy was still talking and breathing, so his windpipe wasn't crushed at that point in time. Down through there. You know.
So I don't get what you guys are saying.
Well, she's saying that it wasn't really the chokehold that killed him. It was his obesity his
that
asthma.
That was a contributing factor. But there was a lot of things that it wasn't, I don't think you can go down. It's not like...
It's like I was saying, when you're a trained fighter, or when you're trained to put chokeholds on people, you know exactly how much pressure to apply and when you should let off. And you know that. If you persist in applying pressure to someone, you know that you're going to either crush their windpipe or you're going to kill them. You know that. You can feel it. And that's why when I talk to you about this, if that police officer was holding on to that man and crushing his windpipe, he knew what he was doing. Therefore, I was saying this officer murdered that man. And we talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when you saw the video, what did you get out of it?
You can obviously see that his arm is around his neck, and I think when he released him, he's still on his stomach, and there's like pressure being applied to his head. So.
But he wasn't really on his stomach, wasn't he? Kind of on his side, or I was kind of looking
because his head was his head down. So if he's doing that, he can't be on his side. Yeah. His head was like completely on the ground, so he was on his stomach.
Okay, so then.
I think back to another thing that's a contributing thing to what's going on, too. You were talking about, when you were talked up about putting yourself into a situation that can cause somebody, whether it's a cop, a person on the street, or whatever it is, to react a certain way.
I think it's that if you're doing stuff that's illegal in the first place, but I think it's also like when you're not complying with when they're telling you to do something and you're resisting arrest, I think that just gives them all the more reason to,
kill you.
Basically, yeah.
Well, you can say,
justify it.
The videotape, according to the New York Post, also said that you can hear Gardner hollering to the cops, "Every time you see me, you mess with me. I'm tired of it. This ends today." So he's putting himself in a situation where there's a confident, it's now not only resisting arrest, but now the cops are going to take it as, now you're threatening me. He also had been arrested not only, you know, one or two times. He had 3 pending cases and been arrested 8 times.
Yeah, he was out on bail, I think.
Yeah, 4, and he had 3 pending ones. Mm-hmm. So he knew the rundown when the cops got there. He knew what they were going to do to him. He knew they were going to arrest him, take him downtown, book him. You know, when he's out on bail and he had pending ones, it's probably a probation violation that he's going to end up in jail. He was just tired. He's trying to make a living for his family, whether it's a legal living or an illegal living, you know. He was
trying to survive.
He's trying to survive the way he needed to. You know, and it's like I said, he just had had it up to a certain point because he had had eight previous, you know, arrests for the same thing.
Eight previous arrests and you're doing something obviously illegal. And I think you were saying that they witnessed him selling cigarettes.
Well, they had complaints from like store owners and stuff that he was doing that in front of their stores.
Well, in case anybody doesn't also know, New York has the highest cigarette tax than any other state in the country. Yeah, I mean, like any state.
$14 for
it's even more than that. For like a pack of cigarettes, yeah. Like 14 is the tax on it. Mm-hmm. So you can go right over.
You're saying the tax is $14 or it's including the price of the cigarette?
No. That's a pack of cigarettes. The tax is higher than anything else. Not cigarettes basically cost the same for the pack of cigarettes. Where the states and the cities and the counties and boroughs make their money is off of the taxes. So New York has them taxed so high that all you gotta do is go over to New Jersey and you can get them for like a whole lot less. I don't know exactly how much, but their taxes are not, you know, the same. I mean, Philip Morris, RJR, they're gonna sell the cigarettes pretty much to each, you know, 7-Eleven, AM, PM, every vendor for the same price. Right.
Buy the same, the companies buy the clothes from the same people, right. And then they mark them up according to what they're.
So the state and the city is already putting out a reason to make people like Eric Gardner, you know, it's go over to New Jersey, buy them up, and, you know, they buy up van loads of cigarettes over there, bring them back, and it was said in the news that on a weekend he could, you know, he'd be making $10,000 off of selling that van full of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, then you get the government involved, and it's like, oh crap, you know, we're losing our money out of that. So they cop, you know, the mayor and the governor, they send out these cops to go out there and you know, play like, you know, room moms or whatever, that's going to go out, you know, and say, oh, no, you shouldn't be doing this. And they're arresting the people that are, you know, selling the illegal cigarettes out there because, you know, the state is losing their money.
Well, I mean, they do the same thing with knockoffs and stuff, I guess, but the state.
And that's why they go out there and they arrest the knockoffs.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's not something that is new anywhere. It happens here. It happens everywhere.
But you got to remember, with knockoffs, they're only losing the sales tax. And it's really hurting the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. In cigarettes, it's not hurting the manufacturer because they're still getting their money legally. Mm-hmm. It's hurting the state and the counties and the cities with all their taxes that they have. You know, they're expecting to get so much money off of the sale of cigarettes.
Are you blaming this incident on?
Well, I think
a lot of people are looking at it from that side. I think one of the congressman in Kentucky was kind of focusing on whether it was the taxes had something to do with it, or like kind of drove him to make that decision in the first place to sell them and try and, you know, support and make a living doing that.
Well, there's easy money to be made out there. That's just the way.
He was an opportunist. Right. Was an opportunity.
Yeah, whether it's being a legal way to do it or an illegal way, there was a need for it. Let's say. You know, so it just set up right. And I mean, he wasn't doing it, you know, behind closed doors or anything. He's standing right out on the street corner doing it. And, you know, I mean, people knew, and they were, I mean, $10,000 in a weekend, that's a lot of money to make off of peddling cigarettes, you know.
His kids seem, I mean, looking at them in the interviews and stuff, they were well-spoken and, you know, they seem like nice kids. You know, like they were not just, well, can I say ghetto?
No, you just did, so I guess so.
But, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? And as I seen them in a couple of interviews, and they were well-spoken, and they, you know, carried themselves well.
Well, and can you imagine now, you know, you're a cop. You go in there for whatever reason, but let's say you want to go in there to serve the community, you know, to try to make sure that people aren't breaking into other people's houses, whether you're a traffic cop stopping the people that are, driving too fast to hurt someone, and your boss comes down and says, okay, today you're going to walk out there in the street and see who you can get for selling illegal cigarettes.
Well, undercover is undercover. Right. And that doesn't make any difference if it's cigarettes, right, or drugs, or whatever it is. It's like there's something And like you say, their superiors, it's coming down from the top. And they're the soldiers that have to follow the orders. So I guess my point is I mean, this young man was he murdered?
I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a whole lot of different
scenarios.
There are a whole lot of different factors that are being thrown in there that just made for a bad situation. You know, I mean, I think especially with New York, it's a small state. It's so close to get to Pennsylvania, to New York. I mean, to
Baltimore,
to New Jersey. I mean, you know, we've been there. We can see. You know, it's not like California. We're close maybe to Vegas, but if you want to go to Oregon, you're going to drive for a day to get to Oregon. You know, it's a lot larger of a state, but there was a lot of factors in there that just started contributing to a situation that turned into a really bad situation, you know, from down to making the taxes so high to making, you know, putting out cops that look like, gosh, I'm just out there,
So do you think it was the jury was justified in a...
Well, we don't know all the facts. We don't know what the grand jury was given. All we read, you know, you can read anything you want in from the news or anything else, but...
Well, people
really
are making a big deal because the guy that videotaped it was, like, indicted, and the guy that... actually did the crime wasn't so
say that again
what was he indicted for I don't know if it was for taping it or not leaving because they were telling him like to
disperse
and he wouldn't leave so it was probably for something like that but it's still that's the evidence that they're basing everything on
that's kind
but
of, I didn't even know that
you didn't know that
no but yeah. I seen the one time this guy was interfering in a crime scene basically with his dog. The pit bull, and they were asking him to leave, and...
Well, that was SWAT that was going in there on something. And
I don't think it's like the same thing.
I know, but what I'm saying is that he was trying to put his camera and his nose in that business. His dog got loose or whatever. They shot his dog. But the dog, on the video, the dog went after the policeman, and then people were in an uproar.
In this situation, I think the guy was at a safe enough distance when they're just bringing the guy down, and then he's just lying there and stuff like that. He wasn't really interfering with anything going on.
Well, I mean...
It's because of him that we know what's going
then you
on.
Get, I mean, if you don't listen to a cop... And see, that's the whole thing, is that should we listen to police? I mean...
Well, like I said, with eight previous arrests, you know exactly what they're going to do, you know?
I mean, that's another thing that kind of baffles me, too. It's like, I mean, he wasn't no stranger, you know, to that. And I mean, maybe I'm quite sure he didn't think it was going to go down like that. But I don't know. I mean, does he watch the news? Does he know that policemen are generally death on a black man?
I don't even know if it's even just death on a black man because I know of us being pulled over, and you know that time we were in East LA and that you know
East, that's a black man with a white woman. Come on, please.
But I'm just saying. When you go down there,
what are you just saying?
You just keep your mouth shut and you answer the questions that they're telling you.
Oh, what
you're
saying that we walked out of it unscathed?
Well,
because we didn't cause any crap.
You can get ignorant, for lack of better terms, out there and start bucking up against them. That's giving them a reason to do whatever they want to do. And again,
I see your point.
You know,
I see your point.
So I think that you know if you don't put yourself in that situation.
Well,
because you're taking the reason away.
Sometimes you're just doing what you normally do and you're not doing something illegal and they still pull you over. I think regardless of whether or not you're in the wrong, I think you still should comply because if you don't, then that's just giving them a reason to do whatever they want. So I don't think you can just look at it as Eric Gardner and don't do anything illegal. Sometimes you're just driving and I've heard, you know, stories of artists that are black. And they get pulled over in, you know, whatever state they're in because they're black and they get their car searched and torn apart because of this and that. And, I mean, you can react to that in a negative way because you know you're not doing anything wrong. And because of that, you can be shot because the officer can say something about self-defense or whatever it is like that. So I think whatever it is they're telling you to do, and, it's not a good thing to live in a society where, you know, whether or not we're doing something wrong, we have to comply with because he's a cop. But knowing that the outcome could be our life, then yeah. we have to.
But I mean,
we have to weigh it out.
I think if you had a society where you didn't comply to what a cop is, then you're going to have a complete chaos.
No, I mean,
chaos.
Like if a cop is targeting you because you're black, because you're Mexican, whatever, they're just targeting you because of your race.
And you get an attitude because you want.
And you get angry because you know you're not wrong. And because of that attitude, you get killed. I think you just have to weigh it out that this person will kill me no matter and use any and probably be justified because I reacted to a situation that yeah. I right. felt was
but
wrong.
But if you know that, then don't put yourself in that situation.
I know, but sometimes you don't put yourself in a situation. It just happens you're driving.
That's not true. Which, and you can yeah. be driving.
I know, but Shantae is saying.
I know what she's saying. She's saying that you didn't do anything wrong, got pulled over. That's fine. When the cop comes up to you and you're tipped off because of that. But if you don't keep a restraint on yourself, then you're giving him the reason to do what he pulled you over for.
I know, but that's what she's saying, that there's a balance and you have to put yourself in check knowing that you're
exactly.
in the right. And, I mean, it's happened to me. All my life, when Lee was up on the show, and he was talking about how he wasn't drinking, and they made him hold a beer can, and then gave him a ticket for drinking, and he wasn't even drinking. But mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. they do what they want to do, and I think and it's
again they do what they want to do, but there's other means that you have to go.
And it doesn't work. I mean, because we've been harassed in our lives, and then you go and you get the badge number, and you call down there, and they take care of each other.
Yeah, they take care of each other, but those cops weren't rocking that beat no more either. And they never came back beating on our front door no more either after you go down there and you start raising a stink about things.
A stink.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, you know, even for me, you know, as a white woman, I've been pulled over on the way home from work at midnight and stuff. And the cop propositioned me and asked me, hey, do you work at Denny's because of the color of the dress I had on? I said, no. Well, you want to go to Denny's? And I mean, I'm being propositioned at midnight. You know, I was polite to him and said, no, thank you. What are you pulling me over for? Take care of your business because I need to get on home. I could have gotten ignorant with him. I'm out there in the middle of the freeway. There's not a whole other cars down there. What's going to happen out there? You know, and I mean, granted, I understand that it's more predominant with blacks and Mexicans that cops do that, but it can go on with women, too. I mean,
that one cop
was raping women and stuff.
He raped that girl in a parking lot. And I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on.
And I'm not saying that every cop is that way. There's probably the majority are not that way. But it only takes one bad person and everybody gets the rap. And it's that way in anything that you're into.
Things are happening a lot. Okay, Shantae, did you get those the stats for the...
Well, it says, according to FBI's Uniform Crime Report in 2013, there were 461, quote, justifiable homicides by police, which is defined as the killing of a felon by a law enforcement officer in the line of duty. And all but three of these reported killings, officers used firearms.
Okay, but...
But it says the true number of fatal police shootings is surely much higher because many law enforcement agencies do not report to the FBI database, I guess we don't really know,
but how many out of that number were unarmed?
It says in all but three of these reported killings, officers used firearms.
Yeah, but it doesn't
they shot unarmed. They had arms, but it's not saying that they were or not.
Okay. But I think, again, you know, there's probably a lot more of these shootings going on out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't heard of 450 of them or something like that.
The ones that are more focused on.
Right.
But yeah,
or if there's a videotape out there.
Is that California or nationwide?
Nationwide.
Because it's
that's a
it's
lot. FBI. That's a low number.
Well, again, what Shantae's saying,
not a lot of them are reported.
They're not reported to the FBI. Mm-hmm. So you know, I'm sure when you get in these little podunk towns down south in the Midwest, you know, anywhere, they're not reported. They just handle it and sweep it under the carpet there.
Okay, the kid in that.
Yeah, okay. It says attempts by journalists to compile more complete data by collating local news reports have resulted in estimates as high as 1,000 police killings a year. Mm-hmm. There's no way to know how many victims like Brown were unarmed.
Oh, okay.
So
okay, I want to talk about the little 12-year-old kid in was in Chicago, right?
I don't believe that was Chicago. I can look it up, but believe it was Ohio where he was.
Ohio?
Where that went down.
Okay.
Tamir Rice, I think, is who you're referring to.
Yeah, I'm not good with names.
His name is Tamir Rice, but Cleveland, yeah, I was saying it was in Ohio.
Yeah, he's a good-looking young man, huh? And what... do you know anything about that, Denise? Nothing at all?
That he had a toy gun, and I think he was, like, waving it around at people and...
But it didn't look like a toy.
I didn't know what his name was. I do know what you're talking about now through that and stuff. And
okay, what is your feelings on that, Shantae?
It's just a sad story. I don't know. I can't say the kid is justified. I mean, he's waving around a gun and he's scaring people with it. So they call the police. I don't know what went down if they were. I think they tried to tell him to put the gun down, and I don't know if he did or if he complied or not. I don't think he did.
They said he motioned that he was going to point it at the cop.
Yeah, and so the cop shot him, so I don't...
Now, weren't you saying that they could have shot him in the leg or...
I mean, that's everybody's thing, or you know, what did they have to shoot him? I think if the cop was saying if he did, and then he wouldn't go home that night.
Right. Okay, so... And... This is just me. There's a young man with a realistic gun, and they said he took the red tip off.
I think the bigger question is, why was he in that situation as opposed to why did the cop react the way he did?
Well, I think, again, it comes down to, even if the kid is, you know, he's 12, so he's starting to feel his oats a little bit or whatever. So even if he's, you know, acting all bucked up against, you know, scaring whatever. As soon as the police show on up, let me tell you, I'd be dropping that gun and saying, whoops, you know.
Okay, but the thing of it is, and that I guess this is what really irritates me, is the mother. And it's like, and also what irritates me is when I was coming up, if I was doing that in a park and there were other adults around, there would have been some kind of consequences I would have paid. That would have never happened because somebody would have said, young man, you know, what are you doing? And that, it
put,
never
put
would
down,
have happened.
You're scaring people, or something like that.
Take it away from you or do something because they know what would happen. Okay, now the mom, and I just caught like a little glimpse of the video, and they were keeping her back away from the scene and this and that. I think the mom should have been shot because how does a 12-year-old kid not know any better? And I guess that's my whole thing. It's like, are the Mexican people and the white people and the Indians and are they coming up the same way with no guidance, not enough guidance to know if a police officer is telling you to put down a weapon, whether it's a toy or whatever, that's what you should do?
Well, I think a lot of the situations lead back to what some of our previous shows have been on, is that the breakdown of the family. And family is an extended type of thing. I mean, in your situation, you know that if an aunt, the neighbor, whoever saw you doing something wrong, they were going to reprimand you, they were going to do something about it. Nowadays, people have their little blinders on and, you know, they'll see somebody, you know. I mean, I remember being in the 99-cent store and that kid was lighting the box matches on there. Mm-hmm. And there was an adult near there. When I went and found someone and stuff, the lady cuts her eyes at me like I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. For saying about the kid's going to burn the store down. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, all I'm worried about is, you know, I'm going to get out of here before this guy does, you know, this kid does something really, really wrong. People don't like to interfere because
if the parent was teaching that child, he wouldn't be doing those things. And that's my whole thing. The whole nation's in an uproar and there's obviously a problem because people are doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. They're giving police an excuse to kill. Now, whether that police has a problem with black people, and another interesting point came out, a friend of mine was talking about, if that police has a problem with black people or whoever, or even just like killing, that police cannot go to anybody in their department and say anything for fear of losing his job. So that same police that likes to kill or likes to be in those situations, because I the Gardner thing, that police officer had, I think, a couple of cases pending for the same reason, brutality or that thing. I'm not sure of that. Mm. But what if he has a problem in that area?
Or where can he go to get help?
Yeah, he can't go to his department because he's going to lose his job, and then he can't feed his kids. So what do you do?
And I'm sure a policeman's job is a very stressful job, mm-hmm. because they do put their life out there on the line just walking out their front door. I mean, we've seen it where, you know, they've been gunned down for no apparent reasons and, you know, just because they are a cop. I mean, I go to work and could somebody come, a crazy guy come on in that maybe got terminated or something and shoot me or something like that? You know, maybe. But the chances of that are not as great as a police officer that's out there because they got the uniform on most of the time. Most of the people in the area know who they are, and, you know, they could be easily targeted.
They could be targeted, like the two men yesterday.
In New York that were gunned down. I mean, you know, so... Again, that's a very stressful job when you go out there and do it. And there needs to be some avenues for them to, you know, go to. You notice that cops retire very early.
And you know what, though? I mean, I don't think it's fair the way the system's... I mean, they get paid a lot of money, but they get a lot of money after their retirement. That's a whole nother thing. But, yes, they have... a very dangerous, important job, because I know, you know, a lot of times I look up, I'm glad to see them in some situations where people are just cutting up. It's like people don't just fight anymore. They kill you. It's like the girl in Santa Ana, the Asian girl that outside the nightclub. Mm-hmm. They don't just beat you up when you're unconscious on the ground. They kick you and beat you. For whatever reason.
The guy at the baseball stadium.
Yeah. Just,
you know, same situation.
And this madness is going on. It's like I was saying, it's like the whole planet's gone bananas. It's like, you know, we're talking about this, talking about that, and everybody's going crazy. Everybody's shooting and killing and fighting. And then you want to tie the police, you want to tie their hands.
Well, it's like, you know, if you look back on all the protests, you know, the protesters are out there saying, you know, we're going to do peaceful protests. Don't put on your riot gear. Don't put on, you know, don't bring out your batons and stuff. But they can't call time out because somebody's now, you know, somebody's
there's people that are protesting peacefully, and then there's people that are seeing it as an opportunity to riot or to do something
exactly.
stupid. And
exactly.
I think they have to prepare for that. I know a lot of people were saying, do they need tanks and do they need, you know, all the stuff that they have in Ferguson? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that they'll have all that kind of stuff going on, and that just makes it worse. I don't know, but I think they do have to, in a sense, you know, with batons and with, you know, riot gear, protect themselves, because there are people that aren't going to protest peacefully.
Well, and I think
that aren't focusing on the issue and more as an opportunity
to steal and to hurt and to do something violent.
Their job also is, not only are they out there trying to keep peace so that the people that are trying to protest peacefully aren't hurt, they're also trying to protect the shop owners' shops. You know, people are looking for a reason to go in there and get whatever they can. And those owners had absolutely nothing to do. And I think sometimes they bring the tanks in because that's a deterrent to try to help keep down, you know, peace in with some of those shop owners. I mean, they're looting, they're burning down places, and they don't care. A lot of those people aren't even from that community. They're coming in from outside there, like Shantae said, they're looking for an opportunity to cut up.
Mm. Well, I'd like to, the Ferguson thing, you were saying, Denise, you brought up a point earlier that, not in the show, but today, the young man that was shot there and killed had just robbed a store or something.
Well, yeah, Michael Brown. You know, they didn't, the cop didn't know that he had just robbed the store.
Okay, now did he do that before the incident?
Yeah, he robbed. Couldn't have robbed the store afterwards.
No, I meant an hour before.
We don't know how long before.
That same day.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, when you take a look at it, the cop didn't know that he had done that, but he knew he had done that. But he didn't know what the cop knew when the cop was coming after him. So you look at the kid's, you know, mind is in one frame of mind.
They're coming to get me.
They're coming to get me. The cop has got another agenda that he's over and, you know, on working
but
on.
He's just going to harass a couple of black boys.
You know, for whatever he's doing. So, you know, you've got two different agendas
so
going on.
So if the cop didn't know, then why was he coming after him?
I don't know. You know, I don't know if there was just, you know.
They said
I don't
they
know
were
what,
just walking or, yeah. or whatever.
But again, the story on that has changed so many times.
Yeah, well,
you know, that's
I was watching John Stewart, and he was saying with all the ambiguities going on with Michael Brown, but with the videotape going on with Eric Garner, we still get the same outcome. And I thought that was interesting, is that, you know, they had so many witnesses and stories were changing, and you can use that excuse that, you know, the evidence wasn't there. Somebody said this, somebody said that for Michael Brown, but we had the videotape.
But a videotape to me does not show everything. Videotapes are clips that show, you know, it looks like this is what's going on, that's what's going on. But when you can take different angles of videotapes and stuff, obviously when it went into a grand jury, it isn't just people, lawyers, and a judge sitting up there. A grand jury also is jurors. It's people off the street that sit in there with the grand jury. So what else was presented in there? Because a lot of that gets sealed. We don't know.
Well, I don't even think, I think that it's black and white. The video shows
I think the videotape helps because a lot of times it's one person's story against the dead guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, but, right, but it helps because he was committing a crime. And I mean, he threatened them. He was resisting arrest.
Yeah, it shows.
It's black and white. In mm-hmm. my opinion, why would they arrest him or convict him for anything? Because it's clear. Like you said, the video's clear.
Well, it's clear for what went down, but then they're saying, you know, that he was choked to death. But there's a lot more than being just choked to death on there when, you know, when they start doing the autopsies and stuff through there.
I read that it says renowned forensics expert Michael Barden, who conducted an independent autopsy on Michael Brown in Ferguson, agrees with the New York City medical examiner's findings in Garner's death, saying neck compressions led to his death. He backs the Garner's family's assertion that his asthma and other health problems weren't what killed him.
But so, they also said, that's what I'm saying, that's one person's opinion. When you read down, though, like I said, I was reading through newspaper article
Do you have it?
That's what I read to you earlier and stuff is exactly what they said. They're even saying that it's in there listed in the autopsy report that it was cardiac arrest and led up to lack of oxygen down through there. And like I said, there's, you know, I don't have the actual autopsy report to see what they actually put down through there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's going to be
conflicting,
you know, opinions on there. The guy obviously died from lack of oxygen.
Right.
You know,
he died because he put himself in a situation to be manhandled or choked or whatever because he was resisting arrest. Now, the Ferguson incident, this kid robbed the store.
Remember they said he was running and shot in the back. Then they came out with conflicting things and saying, no, that's not really actually what happened. And then they said, then it came out that he was wrestling with the cop's gun. Actually, you know, trying to get the gun away from him. There's a whole lot of other,
I know, but which ones? He shot the guy in the thumb. Who got the kid? What's his name?
Michael Brown.
Michael Brown got shot in the thumb. And then, I mean, forensic evidence showed that the police officer his story was truer than all the witnesses?
Well, a lot of the witnesses backed down. They, you know, they were talking, and you know, when news people show up and they're shoveling the microphone in there, they like to talk and talk and talk. You know, then when they all of a sudden they have to swear upon things and they start getting conflicting stories going on, they actually, you know, they had pictures taken of the cop where he had bruises on him and you know, and this type of thing. So again, I don't know exactly what the reasoning was that the grand jury came down with.
Eric Garner, they're saying, was it really a chokehold or more of a headlock or something? And they're saying the chokehold was banned in like 1993 and he's using things that are illegal to
It was illegal. When you read down farther on the thing, it says that it was ruled that just like the police chief in L.A. said that.
It was banned because someone died from it. Either they were playing.
It was recommended against using it.
Yes, but that wasn't the L.A. chokehold or the notorious L.A. chokehold that they were killing black people with. That was just a man putting his arm around a person's neck. It wasn't like a submission. Oh, well, I guess it is a submission, but it wasn't like the L.A. chokehold.
No, he didn't do all that, but I think it was still.
But again,
yeah, but I mean, what are you going to do with a 400-pound person? It's like, you know, I don't think the guy,
you know, in my opinion, I don't think the guy deserved to die for what his crime was. Mm-hmm. But he put himself in a situation, and with all the other external conditions between his weight, his asthma.
He might not have died in that situation.
It's not something he should have died over.
My opinion is like.
But he wasn't going to go down easy.
The Ferguson deal, the young man was obviously a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, and
I agree. I think the focus should be on preventing ourselves from being in those situations in the first place.
Why blame the police or be mad because he's not getting in trouble?
We get mad at how the situation was handled. And I think you're right. A lot of people don't focus on why did it occur in the first place or how could it have been prevented in the first place instead of just focusing on the cop and he's wrong for doing what he did.
But I think no matter what, because of the situation, because two people died in it, it doesn't really matter whether it would have been a white cop, a black cop, a purple cop, or whatever out there. It had been a cop is killing, you know, our youth, or a cop is killing a man for no apparent reason, because they're not focusing on they put themselves in a situation down there with it.
I don't know. I think it's sad. But, I mean, saying that, there is a lot of injustices going on.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that, like you said, you brought up, I've been harassed. We've been harassed, you know, countless times growing up. And I thank God. And I know there's a God because I've been in situations where there were no witnesses and.
Well, and you had some cops that, you know, in some situations that were very lenient on you, and when they could have, you know,
Have thrown the book at me, they did
exactly.
Not. And you're talking about the weed in Beverly Hills, right?
Mm-hmm. You like bring it over for it. Yeah, but I mean, my brother has brought up stories with him and his friend walking at night, and they'll just get stopped and searched for no reason just because, you know, they look a certain way. And it's racial profiling, but if they react a certain way, they could be shot or they could be, you know.
Do you think it's racial profiling, or do you think the police officers are bored? They are bored.
That's what I mean. They're just but they're just looking at people that they could be up to something, and they're just walking. They're not standing there looking like they're selling or anything. They're just walking to the store.
And the police officers are bored.
Yeah.
I think they're stopping any young man, whether they're Mexican or whether they're black, that's predominantly what's in the neighborhood.
Well, I think
minorities.
I think.
But that's what's mostly in the neighborhood where they're getting stopped.
Yeah, but I don't think you hear about it. Or do you think it occurs as much in suburban neighborhoods?
Well, there's not as much crime in the suburban area either.
Yeah, but I mean, stopping people at night that are just aren't doing anything.
I think if there was the same crime rate, the same things would be going on. They'd be profiling kids that are out there hanging around. And stuff, you know. I just think
it's hard to say. But what I'm sitting here, and I've been harassed plenty of times, and every time, ticket, no matter what, I've always done what they've asked. They've had me face down on the concrete, hands behind my back. I'm listening to the radio. They're looking for a guy that weighs 250 pounds and 4'11". At that time, I was probably
150 pounds,
if that, and 5'10". Okay, so I'm listening on the radio, and I'm I'm like, what is this about? I don't fit that description. Or the time that
you got arrested and you got taken down there because the radio went down because they got half the information. We walk into the courtroom and the judge is like, what are you even doing in here? You don't fit this. This obviously
the description,
was just.
But they gave me a lot of, the runaround. But even so, it's like Shantae was saying, there's a balance that not only black people, but everybody has to respect police officers. And that's what we teach our children. That's what the schools should be teaching our children. And I hope they are. They're fooling their heads with all this other nonsense, in my opinion. But these are the things that should be learned at
school.
Yeah, well,
I think people are, I have my rights and this is wrong. And that is true and that is justified. But I think in that moment and in that situation, we have to, we can't resist arrest because that officer is wrong and I didn't do anything wrong. And that may, like I said, may very well be true. But if we do anything, if we try to retaliate or we don't comply to what they're doing, then they feel justified to take, whatever action they feel to resolve the situation.
When my boss and I and some of my coworkers were talking about the situation with Michael Brown, and he was raised not in California, outside of California. And it was the way he was raised was, police want to be in full control. When they pull you over, the minute they lose 1% of that full control, you're putting yourself in that situation. Do not ever give up, give them that reason to, for an excuse to do anything to you. And this is a big white guy that was taught that. That's mm-hmm. what his parents taught him. And, that's how I was taught was when a police tells you to do something, you respect what they do.
In today's society, is like Shantae was saying, I have my rights
I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm saying they're not going to respect that when they're, trying to arrest you when they're doing this and that. And they'll say, oh, it was self-defense or they were resisting arrest. So I did this and that. And you wind up, getting killed over it. It's like, yeah, I have my rights, but at the same time, you going up with an officer, you're not the same. Yeah. There's not a balance there. Like, there should be.
Life's not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. Life's not fair.
Exactly.
And, you find that out in school. You find that out in your job. I have my rights, mm-hmm. but that doesn't make, make it right. Because, your boss writes you on up and you're like, but I didn't do anything wrong. I have my rights to, to voice an opinion. I have my rights to do this, whatever I'm within the company policy, but that doesn't mean anything when that warning still went into your file. You can put it in there under protest, but it still goes in there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm having a little, what's the time remaining?
A minute 28.
So, anyway, discussion.
We also wanted to send our thoughts and prayers to the families of the New York officers that were killed yesterday, which is Wenjian Liu and Rafael Ramos.
Oh, okay. So, any final comments?
Well, I have one comment and stuff, and that's that, that I just pray that that our society is falling apart so bad that people don't lose it. I mean, there's no sense on senseless killings, like retaliation. We're no better than the gangs than if we stoop to that level. And I think that our society is greater than being a gang-run society.
Yes, the assassinations of the two police officers today could spark off even a greater. They think that the police might now retaliate because they think that that was prompted by protest and all the
incidents that are going on.
Yeah, so I'm going to say we are never more like Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating. And that will bring this show to a close.
Thank you for listening to Positive Perspective.